Do you have some question? Some more question?
Reverend Suzuki, would you please talk about what the Buddhists think about killing, or about, you know, maybe there's a precept or their doctrine
about killing?
About killing.
Uh-huh.
Because it's hard to understand all the killing that is happening here.
About killing, what they think it is not to kill.
It's not to kill.
Mm-hmm. Not to kill. What do we mean, you think?
What do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I always thought that's just what it meant, not to kill, not to cut you down, or maybe not even think about it.
This is very, maybe, pretty difficult question to answer. Not to kill. The not to kill means fundamentally, it means not to be dualistic. If I say whose fault it's it may not be the right answer to your question. When we become dualistic, you know, we have precepts, you know, not to kill. Not to kill means don't kill. But actually, there's nothing to kill. Actually, if everyone has Buddha nature, you know, that Buddha nature is something like what I talked about this time. It is impossible to kill. You can kill someone's body, but its true nature cannot be killed. So, not to kill means it is not matter of kill, not to kill. Even though you try to kill someone, it is impossible. If you know that it is impossible, no one will try to kill some other person. Because you think it is possible you kill someone.
But even to kill somebody else's body, don't they have to lend themselves? Don't we actually assist them in their own desire for death rather than taking that bar that someone has there?
I couldn't follow your excuses. Will you say it again?
Well, the person that is killed, the one who decides rather than the killer, just lends himself
to?
Yeah, the killer just lends himself to the mistake.
Uh-huh.
The person that is killed is the one who decides to die.
Yeah.
He is the one who makes the mistake.
Yeah. Who? The one who wanted to kill.
I'm thinking the one who is killed. also.
Who is cured.
Yes. He chooses. You know, like the man who throws himself on the sword. I mean, you know, he gives himself to the sword.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we give ourselves to the common bond.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a kind of suicide.
Yeah. I think every person that dies is a kind of suicide. Otherwise, no complaints.
When we kill, try to kill, they mistake, you know, in understanding of our life. Because we do not know it is impossible to kill, so we try to kill. But you are a question or answer, I don't know.
When we die, there's the same mistake. Because we do not know, it is impossible to die.
Mm-hmm. When you think you are dying, that is the same mistake.
Yeah.
It is impossible for us to die. We do not die, actually. Yeah, that is maybe the same mistake. So, if everyone understands this point, no one will care, try to kill anybody. So, not to kill is to realize our true nature. And that is the interpretation of the precepts, not to kill.
Include violence.
Yeah. Violence. Yes. All the precepts. It includes this idea of our true nature. To realize our true nature includes all the precepts, not only not to kill or not to steal. Not to steal is there's nothing to steal because you have it. Don't tell a lie. We cannot tell any lie because you think it is possible. You try to tell a lie, but it is impossible. Even though you try to tell a lie, you know you are telling a lie. And if you know that, everyone will know it. So it is impossible.
How can we avoid being angry?
Angry?
Or resentful, or jealous, or suspicious of other people?
Uh-huh.
How can we guard ourselves from
taking that? Anger is one of the one of the strongest, you know, evil desire. greedy. Greediness and anger and ignorance. but all those things comes from ignorance. When we ignorant of our true nature, we become angry. It is want of, it is want of thorough understanding. That is anger. That's too late. So you must be angry. That's all what you should do. When you become angry, you should be angry. That's all. And don't criticize yourself, and just you cannot be always angry, you know. Anger just one or two, 2-3 minutes. So that's all. That's when you notice it. That's too late. So maybe better to be angry. And after you realize that was a mistake, you have to try not to be angry again. If you, this is the point. If you think you should not be angry, you know, this is, it means you are caught by precept. You should not be angry. That is not precept, actually. When you keep it, that is precept. But when you violate it, that is not precept anymore. That is just mistake. So we do not talk about anger, which came out already. That anger is the anger, psychological anger, not religious anger. Religious anger is our before we become angry, that is religious anger. So if you are really religious, you have no anger and you keep precepts.
So wrong question.
What
would you say? Animals, there would be a great deal of animals running around.
Animals. Yeah, not only animals, but you know, vegetable you eat also living being. But if we talk about this kind of discussion, not purely religious discussion, but it is religious because if we do something, you know, wrong, that that action will create another bad action or habit. This is very important point. If you do something wrong, that experience will create some other bad conduct. And that is why some people emphasize that experience is the origin of the conscience.
In other words, this concept of sin would be sin, would be any activity that causes one to fall short of enlightenment?
Sin. Sin and enlightenment is two sides of one coin. When you say you are simple, you have enlightenment. Enlightened mind says you are simple.
Not simple.
Hmm? Simple.
Simple. Oh, simple.
Your mind, enlightened mind, says you are simple. This is two sides of one coin. Pure and sick, they emphasize this side. And they try to this side into turn this side into the other side. That is possible because it is two sides of the one kind. It is the same thing, you know. Actually, the same thing. Don't you think so? Quite different thing.
But in sin, one generally isn't willing to admit that he is sin.
Yeah, it's sin. When you think he is sin, he is enlightened. In another word, the same thing. He is simple. He is enlightened. He is enlightened. His true nature. He cannot be just, you know, enlightened. If both sides is enlightened, he is not. It doesn't mean anything. He even exists. Does not exist. There is no such a thing. And no such a person. Someone may say, I am enlightened. I don't mind. Whatever I do, that is crazy. He is crazy. He lost his personality. Don't you think so? If he admits himself just simple and no hope to be enlightened, or no hope to be saved by Buddha or Christ, he is, you know, crazy too. For a man, it is impossible to think that way. There must be some hope to live, some hope to be saved, even though he admits himself to be sinful, he has still hope to be saved, or else he cannot exist. At the same time, if we say, for me, there's no sinful life, I'm quite safe, whatever I do, it's all right. He's also crazy. If you think, if you are enlightened, after you enlightened, you can do whatever you like. That is big mistake.
Since say in the sutra they say our discriminations are carried forward by habit energy, how can we understand that in relation to practice?
You present bad action, you mean?
Well, then I'm thinking in terms of dualities, is carried on by what they call habit energy.
Habitual energy. Habit. That is result of previous wrong conduct.
How can we understand that in relation to present conduct?
In relation of interjection of practice, what is the relationship between that statement and our practice? You mean?
How can we avoid creating more habits?
Our purpose, our practice, is to cut completely down the habitual power, you know, to be completely free from our habitual, you know, energy, whatever it is, habitual power, which so-called karma. At least we should know that we are intrinsically free from karma. Karma is something which we create. We create karma. And we suffer from it. So pure religion is in the realm of there's no creation or no no. Okay. what is the opposite of greed?
Destroy.
Not destroy, but to become. You know, create means, in Buddhism, to create means to accumulate some elements and create something. And when those factors become separated, there's nothing left. Composed. All composed being, we say. No, it's composed of one. So, our purpose of Zazen is to get out of the usual understanding of create or destroy or, you know, and this kind of scientific, philosophical thinking. When we are free from those thinking, there's no creation or no destroy. We are always free from those defilements. And we know this is our true nature. When we know that, there's no more continuity of the car. We can stop the car. Even for a moment, you can do it.
Isn't sitting there part of your karma? I
mean, yeah.
Stop the old stuff.
Yeah. Stop. Everything. Completely. Because we can stop it, because we do not even to stop it, just to practice, you know. We don't try to stop anything. Even we do not try to stop it. When you try to stop, as long as you try to stop, it will not work. No, it is not difficult. But there should not be any misunderstanding, you know, in what you say, you know. If something adds to it, that will create some problem. It should be clearly so. When you say something, or when you try to figure out what is our teachings, or what is our way, already there is some, you know. Your own idea is in it. In that case, it will not work.
It seems that way to me too.
Yeah. This is very important.
Finding a solution to an answer to a question, like it's verbal.
Yeah, just powerful. So we cannot. It is just conclusion. And it should not be any thesis for to get some other conclusion. You may say it is so because we can do such and such things. That is abusing the teaching. Teaching is the teaching, the period. Your conduct should not be based on just verbal teaching. Your inmost nature will tell you. You know, that is true teaching. What I said is not true teaching. I just give you a hint, you know.
Seems to me this is perhaps the great mistake for a sacrilege to
yes.
You can't have such an illusion or delusion.
It will easily become a delusion. Misunderstanding. If you, attach to the statement, if if you realize something in your heart, in your sight, this is it. That is the teaching. What I said is is just suggestion. Have you something like this? I say to you. And if you say, oh yes, I have the same thing here, that is the true teaching. That is so-called enlightenment.
Is there any real difference between our waking state and our dream state?
Not much difference, maybe. Dream. If you say dream, or what we are doing is dream.
Are you dreaming?
Here we go. Ninety-9% we are dreaming.
Is there any conflict between pursuing the true and beautiful and seeking the Buddha nature, or can you seek the Buddha nature through the good
and beautiful?
Can you repeat it?
Yeah, please.
Is there a conflict between seeking the good, true, and beautiful through sight, art, and so forth,
yes,
and seeking your Buddha nature, or can you seek Buddha nature through the good, true, and beautiful?
The way is different, you know. The to pursue for beauty or to for good is different from the pursuit for in nature of within ourselves. The way is different. But there is no conflict, because the pursuit of truth and a good or beauty is based on our inmost nature. There should not be conflict. But when conclusion invade, you know, religious field, there you have conflict. As long as your pursuit is limited, your own way, it is, there is no conflict. If science just become science, and if philosopher just become philosopher, and religious people accept the conclusion of scientists and philosophers, there is no conflict, and it should be so. Sometimes we invade, you know. That is, from religious point of view, the scientific research means nothing. If I say so, this is to invade other pursuits. Pursuit of knowledge and pursuit of the, you know, holy mind, not mind, but holiness is quite different thing. I think I understood you what you said just now. The scientific research or intellectual understanding of religion is not always wrong. And intellect, why we have intellect is to correct our emotional faculty. You know, our emotional faculty is so sometimes so is not so clear and is not so correct. You know. Some correction is wanted for emotional function of our mind, or else you know we don't know whether what I feel is right or wrong. That is, you know, the characteristic of emotional function of our mind. So it is necessary to correct it so that we can rely on our emotional faculty. So it is necessary. But even though intellectual understanding can correct our emotional faculty, and that correction is not, you know, will not help you so much. Unless you realize the original nature of, true nature of yourself. It is just emotion, and our function, our life in the realm of emotional and intellectual realm. So, we don't know the deeper strength of emotion, intellect. So it will not help you so much. It will not encourage you. You know, just correction. More will not correct you. Will not encourage you so much unless you have some good example who is wise and moral. You know, if someone who is great, if some good example, if you have some good example, it will give you some encouragement. But just intellectual correction will not encourage you, will not help you so much. In this, we say that is not enough. The religious experience is something more than that, and something different, completely different from our intellect or emotional feeling. So we should not ignore our intellect, but we should not be limited. Our faculty should not be limited in emotional or intellectual reality. Do you understand? So we should be reasonable, and we should be emotion. Two.
What happens if a person dies without realizing his Buddha nature? What happens to the Buddha nature?
What happened to Buddha nature? Nothing happened to it. It is always the same and constant. The Buddha nature is always taking activity. It is incessant activity. That is, there is no two Buddha nature. There is only one Buddha nature for everyone, for everything. And it is always incessant activity. Even though we are sleeping, it is in activity.
Okay. I thought you always said that Buddha nature was calm, but we have no idea why it's calm.
Calm activity. Let's see. This is very difficult, you know. This is Bodhisattva's way. You should be Bodhisattva in such case, you know. It is very hard to make them realize. But they are doing, you know, because they do not know anything but what he is doing, and he thinks what he does is right and perfect. Not perfect. He has no time to think about something else. His life is completely occupied by some particular research. But if he is a human being, he will have time when he finds himself uneasy. When he talks with you, he will not say so, but he must have time to feel lonely if he is just occupied by some particular research without having any understanding of religion or other science.
I remember reading one time somewhere that that man, Jesus Christ, said they are forgiven for they do not know. They return, so they are forgiven. I wonder if we need permission to be a Zen master when time is right, that we feel to be right, so right that, like anyone who's here, for example, to say, kick someone in the shin, or didn't convey to heaven, see?
I couldn't follow.
I wonder if we need permission. I mean,
permission?
Well, I wonder if you feel like we're qualified to, you know, laugh, you know, there's something very familiar. I suppose it's all right to do so.
It is. We don't know if it is all right or not, you know, before he does it. It is impossible to know. And there is no qualification in religious life. Everyone is there, actually.
But isn't the one qualification that is that the student comes to the teacher, the teacher does not go to the student and wish to change him or wish to show him?
Show a student,
so
you mean?
The teacher doesn't go to the student and say, see what you're doing wrong. The student comes to the teacher and asks for instruction, or asks for a kick in the shin or whatever. The expression of how to be. It has seemed to me, in my own personal feeling, to be wrong to try to show someone else my belief if they are seriously interested. I will direct them here or direct them to acquaint them with a book that I know, or tell them of my own personal experience. But it seems as though they have to make a serious inquiry first, rather than to me to try to convert them.
Supposing that person is really suffering.
But you have the right to judge.
Well, no, it's not judgment. And it's not belief either.
Because the part of the problem is that we don't want to partner with the person's friendship. In other words, if we are willing to give them up, then we can tell them fairly easily that he's mistaken. It's when we don't want to be, have him angry with us, or don't want to turn on us, when we find it difficult to tell him that he's wrong, or that we think he's wrong. We can't tell him something, tell him we think he's wrong. But the real problem is that we don't want to give him up.
I mixed up with it here.
Wow, okay, so this is an answer to the question. He says, what do you do? Tell this person. He says, this is an answer to your question. The problem is that we are clinging to that person too.
And we cling to them. That is, if we were just simply turn around and walk away, you know, if we would let him go, then he would have lost something and he would realize from his actions that it's some loss. That's why we can't tell, because we want to stay there.
Excuse me. Don't.
That sort of detachment or of that attitude, I think.
What did you mean? if you have some pure experience within yourself, you know, in that case, to present that experience to teacher. When you present that experience to the teacher, and teacher may say that it's good or bad, or perfect or imperfect. In this case, what do you think? Do you think it's much better than to submit your experience to the teacher, not to? It's much better. Do you think that way, or?
That's what I think.
You know, we say it's the same thing with Christianity. If you don't, you know, what do you say? If you do not ask, he will not answer. That is true. The missionary spirit is not just to spread, you know, some teaching of Buddha or to force something to people or to utilize, to do something by name of the missionary work. And that is not fair, I think. When you they want something, he should be prepared for giving something. And if they are ready, he should strike. That is all right. If he is sleeping, don't sleep. Get up and think more. This is good, I think.
I quite agree with what has been said. I think something that's been added to the conversation that seems to me not to get too complicated, but it sort of connotes a Christian attitude, and this missionary and spirit thing is that, of course, it's nothing to do with Buddhism, I guess. But I mean, still a Christian spirit. But I don't really see too much difference between the student and the teacher. To feel this compassion or this need to not change a person, but perhaps to happen to see something that he's not seen that he must see in order to relate, depending on the circumstances.
We cannot change his character or what he did, what he will do. It is very difficult. But there is no need to change it. If he had right understanding of his character, that's good enough. So, as a conclusion, to put high praise, we should put high praise. To put something which should be put in at low place should be put at low place is religion, our religion. There is no secret.
Well, if someone needs help, when someone is ready to be helped, he'll seek help. But if you go out and try to help them, isn't that sort of self-love, where you try to transform another person into the image of yourself?
Image of self.
Yeah, in other words, if you go around trying to help people, make them see your way, what you think is right, that's really self-love, because you're trying to change the people into your own image. You're trying to get people to be like yourself. That's really self-love. That's selfish. You need them more than they need you. So, if you're really sincere, you let them come to you.
I think so. That
prophet, the old prophet.
That
just talk.
Image. Occasion. What will be the image of human being, right human being, good human being? But there should not be some proper image, some particular image. I think everyone should be their own, in their own mold, so that is why we have, we want cover to keep everyone active and happy. There should be something that is, if there is teaching, that is the teaching. This teaching do not force anything, any particular person. Everyone is the same under the heaven. Everyone is the same in the common bus park in Japan. Do you know the Japanese common bus? There may be only five to six people in the big bus stop. They are enjoying it, watching and talking. That's wonderful. Thank you. And that is our, you know, idea. And even so, when we do not use the bath tub, we won't cover soon. When, you know, our people get into it, we should take off the cover and enjoy the bath with people in the same way. Not in the same way, but they are friends, just friends. There's no rich person or a poor person in the common path when they are naked. And they can talk anything in the common path. But even so, when we do not use it, there should be cover to it. That cover is wanted. If you want to enjoy the bath, that is our teaching. Our teaching is not you should do like this, or society should be like this. Human beings should be like this. This kind of, we have no this kind of thinking or idea. When, you know, we take off the cover, when we forget all about our teaching, that is heavy for us. But it does not mean we do not want the cup. We want it. But when we enjoy the Buddhism, there must be no any teaching. There must not be any teaching. We are all safe. So, if a teacher works you, you can wax me. True. You can fight with the teacher if you like, if you can enjoy it. But still, teacher like me, will not be enjoyable. But if I am big like Hirok, it may be pretty interesting. Here we have no teaching. That is our idea. World. That is our heaven, Nibbana, where there is no teaching.
If there is no such thing as killing and death, why does the Buddha say don't eat meat because you have to kill animals?
Why? Because you kill.
But there's no such thing as killing God.
So if everyone understands it, we will not say so. But because you, just because you say you kill, you know, people, you try to kill people.
But if you don't think that way, then you mean me. If you kill an animal, but if you don't think about killing, then you can eat meat, peaceful.
Everyone is not like that. So our idea is, you know, to enjoy our life in the common path. But if someone fights about we should say, don't do that. Don't disturb me. And that is impossible. And that is quite natural.
Is it so, the sensei, that there is such a thing as a certifying or a certificate? Because I think some people are interested here.
If you are too much interested in such things, that is not good. If you are forced to be a teacher, you should be. But, or else, it is much better than to be no one. Go to Japan and find out.
In judo, if you're good, you get a black belt, so.
No, then it's not physical training. Then it's not sport. Oh, thank you very much.